Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 91 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for our final preseason pod heading into the start of the season this weekend away to Genoa. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Gianni, let's kick this thing off right. It's been a long summer. What are you most excited for as Inter kicks off their title defense this Saturday?
Dude, I'm just most excited to see the boys back on the pitch in an actual meaningful game. I feel like it's been a summer of ups and downs, a summer of, I don't want to say turmoil, but people have not been too pleased with the way things have gone this summer.
No.
So, I'm excited to just get them all back on the pitch and hopefully, you know, prove some of the naysayers wrong. That's kind of what we tend to do. Whenever there's like a cloud of unsuredness around this club is when we tend to show up. So
it's been super interesting because if you look at everyone's like preseason favorite or all the journalists and the media, they're all talking about Inter is the favorite for the title. But if you just looked at Inter Twitter, you would think we're having the worst summer ever of the entire.
We might be a relegation side.
Yeah. So that is not atypical for what you experience in the Interverse here. But we move. Something that is super exciting that happened to us this summer, obviously the partnership with Sempre Inter was huge, but we also sent out some merch. Johnny, do you want to talk to the listeners here about this jersey drop?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we got, I think it was 29 was the final number of jerseys. And that's not even including the ones that you and I got. So thank you really to all the listeners who did purchase one, who did decide to take a chance on buying this kit. And, you know, we threw in some cards and some stickers and stuff for everyone. And it wasn't easy getting everything to everyone. Oh, nice. I was a little stressed out in some ways, but my goodness, like seeing the feedback and seeing how everyone has enjoyed them and has appreciated the quality and had nothing but good things to say. And even people who didn't buy it reaching out afterwards saying they wanted to buy it, and people who said that we did a better kit than what Nike did for Inter this season. I mean, that was pretty cool to see, especially from a non-Inter fan. Shout out Art Morelli. It's awesome. And I am so thankful to all you guys, everyone who's been listening and been behind us since day one. It means a lot.
Yeah, they came out way better than I could have expected. The material is awesome. They look great. So keep sending in those pictures of you guys wearing them. I saw Nico Bukutsi wearing it to his scrimmage game.
So sick. And that was so sick to see.
Yeah, it was.
Gab Sicari sent some cool picture. Anthony Farrow, thank you guys. Sick pictures. Everyone else who took pictures too, and I'm forgetting off the top of my head. I apologize. It's nothing personal. I'm just not remembering. Literally, so many of you sent those pictures, so but it means a lot. And for those of you who didn't get jerseys, and even those of you who did get jerseys, I mean, we did work with Interclub Boston on a t-shirt design that is going to be dropping here shortly. One of our good friends is actually sending us some mock-ups too that she is come up with. They look pretty sick. I look forward to see, she's going to test it out on one of these t-shirts first for us and to kind of show us how it comes out, which I'm super pumped about. But we think you guys are going to love this t-shirt. It's going to be of a specific player who may or may not have just gotten a contract extension. I don't know. It could be that person.
There's options there.
There's options there. But yeah, that's something else to look forward to, guys. That fortunately she'll be able to host selling for like the listeners and stuff and handle shipping and all that stuff. So I don't have to deal with that headache. But yeah.
Listen, you learn lessons. I'm sure you learned a lot about logistics and delivery.
Learned a lot about shipping costs.
Yes.
That's what I learned a lot about.
Yeah, but that's the game we play. So groundskeeping for the podcast, now the official podcast of SempreInter.com. Jerseys went out, more merch on the way. We did start a YouTube channel. Trying some stuff out. Let's see how that goes there. Obviously, the podcast is going to be your main source of content, but we're going to try to put out a bunch of stuff this season. It's a super exciting time for us and also just for Interisti in general as we head into defending our title. So let's go ahead and get into it. On the note of groundskeeping, injuries this preseason. So heading into Genoa, we were dealing with injuries to Taremi, Zielinski, Arnautovic, De Vrij, and I think that's pretty much everyone. So officially, Taremi is going to be available. Arnautovic is going to be available. Zielinski might be on the bench, but probably not expected to start. De Vrij is out. Timetable on De Vrij still unsure. Zielinski expected to be back for the second game of the season. So that's where things stand as far as everyone's availability. All right. So we just wrapped up preseason here. It was an up and down preseason. I started off with a 3-2 victory against Lugano, kept it going against Pergolettese 2-1, beat Las Palmas, which I think is when we looked our sharpest, 3-0. And then things got a little rocky, a 1-1 draw at Pisa, a 2-0 loss to Al Ittihad, and then Chelsea equalized at the death this last preseason friendly. So that wraps up Inter's preseason, and I guess we'll start here. How do you view preseason games? Because for me, all it is an opportunity for people to get worried about the club, and I think in actuality, you see, like, players are not playing with shin pads until like three games in, right? It's not, you know, it's sort of a take it easy kind of thing, or it's sort of about getting minutes on your legs. And the only bad that can really come from, actually, very bad things can come from preseason, and that's injuries. The only good is, like, with a team like us, they've been playing together, they know how to play together. We had a lot of players that were out, so ultimately, the complaining about preseason, the, you know, not being super impressed with the performances, is that something that you look at and you start to worry and start to have questions, or do you look at it differently?
To me, I look at it as just fitness. Like, the guys are just really getting back into game shape. I don't panic. I don't take it too seriously. I don't look at it as like this is the end of the world. Last summer we didn't look great and we just smoked the whole league, right? So like, it really just comes down to staying healthy. To me, that's the most important thing. If you're able to come out of that with no long-term injuries, I mean, it looks like that De Vrij is going to be the one that might linger till who knows when. I've seen some people, like something say to the early October, so he might miss the first four games because I think there's an international break in there somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. But like as long as they're healthy, you know, I feel like some of the key guys looked good, looked sharp. Specifically, you know, Barella, Bisek, even Thuram looked pretty good in his short appearances, and Taremi looked fantastic. Like, let's not forget about that. So
yeah,
you know, so I'm not sitting here worried. I'm not hitting a panic button. I'm not. I think with things that have gone on in my life on a personal level, I've learned to not let Inter, although it can ruin my day, I've tried to not let it just add on top of everything else that I'm dealing with.
Especially preseason.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, you know what? I mean, let's see how we look after a game or two. You know, I don't really hit the panic until like week five, I would say. Like if there was a bad start, and by bad start, I mean like two wins and two draws and maybe a loss or something like that, or three wins and two draws, whatever. You know, let's see what we do. I think that, you know, everyone's going to come in motivated. Everyone knows that they have, you know, a target on their backs. And this is the second time where this core is going to be, you know, starting as defending champions. And I think that they would want to repeat this time as opposed to the way how it ended last time where they finished, you know, fell a point short. So,
Yeah, and you would think 4 seasons into his Inter coaching tenure that Inzaghi would sort of, you know, understand what needs to be done in preseason.
For sure.
He hasn't raised any alarms. I mean, the most that he said is like, we have a hole in defense, but he seems really confident. The players seem really confident. You know, I thought they played well in spells against Chelsea, considering that they also were playing Primavera players and considering that some guys are still working their way back. Oh, Bastoni was another one who didn't play in the Chelsea Chelsea game preseason, but is expected to be there for Genoa. So it's like, you know, you don't have the whole team together. It's really, none of that's a big deal to me. I don't hit the panic button. I'll say, let's call it 3 games in. Let's call it, you know, the Mendoza line in baseball. We'll call this the Gasperini line. 3 games in
I like that.
Is what you have to start really worrying. And it's, you know, it's a straightforward start to the season for us as well, as far as the fixture list. So let's go ahead and ease into it. Your preseason MVP, your standout.
So I'm going to go with a name that I did mention, and I'm going to say it's Taremi. To me, I'm going to give him the MVP. I'm sure Neem is going to love that because that's his boy, his countryman.
That is his boy.
They might be distant relatives for all we know, you know? So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, I think that he was phenomenal. Loved everything I saw. I think the finishing, we knew it was there. We knew he was going to be a clinical player. And yeah, I was very, very impressed with what I saw from him. I did not have the highest expectations. In fact, you know, I think I may have made some threats to Nima that if his boy doesn't impress, you know, this he may get my, the way he treats me over Radu is the way I'll treat him over Taremi. But once again, I'm wrong.
Short leash.
Yeah, very short leash. But I loved everything I've seen. So I'll give him my preseason MVP.
Yeah, he was. You mentioned clinical. Like, it's everything that Arnautovic wasn't for us last season. So I think that is a reason to get excited. I'll give the preseason MVP to Bisek. He played every single game and he was awesome in every single game. It's interesting that like for the first couple games, obviously there was a hole at center back because Acerbi was coming back from injury. De Vrij was still, you know, working his way back from the Euros, and Inzaghi chose to play Agumé at center back instead of Bisek and kept Bisek in his natural role. And then this last preseason game, we see Bisek shift over to center back in the late stages of that game. So that's something of note, something to keep an eye on. I thought he was just like really, he looks like he deserves minutes. And you just don't know where he's going to get them, because I doubt Inzaghi is going to go with him over Acerbi or De Vrij in the center of the pitch. Well, in the center of the defense. We'll talk about that a little bit more in depth. I think this is a good opportunity to actually dive into the mailbag here. We asked you guys to give us questions for this podcast. And speaking on Bisek, at Magnus Kaufman sends in a question here. He says, how do you guys see the role of Bisek this season? Will he get more minutes, maybe play as the center of the back three, or Pavard in the center and Bisek on the right center back? I expect more minutes from him this season either way. I think it's a really good question. Johnny, what are you anticipating from Jan Bisek this season?
I'm honestly anticipating him being played in the middle. Not exclusively, but I do think that will be, that's where we need the coverage. That's where we're lacking, unless something happens in the market, you know, here in the last couple of weeks where we do bring somebody in. I don't see it happening realistically as much as we want it to happen. So I could see him being there. He will be like a jack of all trades in that back three. He will play left. He will play right. He will play center. And I think he's the type of player that he'll play where the manager wants him because he wants to have an opportunity. And I think he's going to, you know, try to make the most of those opportunities. You know, we saw in the preseason, especially the game against Chelsea, where he was played centrally, where he still pushed the ball forward, kind of how Acerbi does. You know, he has those types of runs. I'm not crazy about when Acerbi does it. I did feel better with Bisek doing it. But now if you're able to have, you know, a back three potentially of Bastoni, Bisek, and Pavard, you know, all three of them could really carry the ball forward, and all three of them can make a brilliant pass and kind of find their man and make runs into the box as well. And I am I'm going to be interested to see, of course, how he's used and how he's deployed, and if, you know, Inzaghi decides to lean on him more, which it could be good for us in the short run, but I think could be bad for us long term, because I think that other teams will come knocking if he does continue to grow the way we've seen him grow. So
yeah,
it's kind of like a catch 22 situation.
I absolutely agree with that. I think so. He's going to start the first game of the season against Genoa, as he should. Pavard's not up to full fitness yet. So he's going to start. It's going to be interesting if he dominates that first game, if he's in there for the second and third, when Pavard is ready to go. My anticipation is that Inzaghi is going to stick with Pavard, Acerbi, Bastoni until he's given a reason to go elsewhere. I think Bissek's role right now is first guy off the bench for the defense. He should be first guy off the bench for right center back, center back, and left center back, especially with Dvorak's injury. He's the first guy off the bench for if there's an injury or if it's time to give these guys rest. Where I think he can work himself into is the center back position. Although I do think, Tony disagrees with this as far as like taking him out of right center back might hurt some of the traits that we think make him so good, which is his ability to drive into space with the ball. You do have less of that at center back. It's not as frequent as you do on the outsides like Bastoni or Pavard, because you leave a gaping hole behind you and people have to cover you and it disrupts the shape of the team. So it happened against Chelsea where he actually was really out of position and got caught out of position, was able to catch up, but that is something that can happen with him there. With that said, I do think that it's going to be crucial to have him as the center back option, to your point, because I don't know if an investment is going to be made. There's links with players, Mikhail Faye from Barcelona, and he is a left center back, and also Tomas Palacios from Talleres, who's on loan at Independiente right now. Independiente Rivestieras, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it, but either way, the guys we're being linked to are not guys you would expect to get minutes out the gate. So there is a good opportunity for Bissek to really come in and make a name for himself. And I think next year we're going to be having a conversation between Thuram and Bissek who's going to end up having to be sacrificed. As much as I don't want that to happen, I expect Bissek to play well.
Let's not start this episode like this.
I expect Bissek to play well. And you're right, you know, when big clubs know that a club like Inter is cash-strapped and willing to listen to offers, it makes you nervous. It hasn't been the case this year, but it makes you nervous nonetheless. All right. I think it's a good opportunity for us to shift over to the other aspect of this preseason, which is the Mercato. So there's a lot of things at play here. We'll talk about a number of different aspects. I want to start with a question from @ShoeBubble. Who says, let's discuss this Mercato. Was the goal to keep the squad together and make little signings, or did we fumble the bag with potential future signings? All right, I'll go ahead and answer this one off the bat. I think that this Mercato has played out exactly how Beppe and Auxilio wanted it to play out, except for a couple different things. Like, number one, their goal was to reinforce the squad, not make huge changes. You have to remember, Fratesi, Augusto, those bills came due. So there wasn't going to be much of an investment unless a big player was gone. So they shored up some holes with free transfers. Everyone coming into the season would have said, like, we needed another striker. You get a good one in Taremi for free. Giving Mkhitaryan some help in Zielinski for free, who's one of the best midfielders in Serie A over the past 11 years. That's the business that they wanted to do. What they were not expecting was it to take so long for them to get rid of their dead weight. Agüero just left the club. Satriano is still here. Correa is still here. they were hoping to get offers for Arnautovic. That was something that they definitely weren't expecting, and it's probably hamstrung them a little bit in something else that they wanted to accomplish, which is replace Tejan. They weren't expecting to have to go in for another defender. That this wasn't the goal. The goal was to have Carlos Augusto and then DiMarco and Tejan on the left. That injury changed things in the mercato, and because we weren't able to clear out the dead weight, we don't have the money to spend on to make an investment on that player. It sounds like it's going to come, but at the same time, this is probably not how they expected the mercato to go. The other aspect of the mercato is the renewals, which they got all of them done. Inzaghi probably hasn't renewed for as long as people wanted him to, but they got that done. Barella's here till 2029, and so is the captain Lautaro. How do you feel about this mercato?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there was some players that we were kind of tied to or rumored to be interested in and could potentially go after that. You know, the fantasy football fan in me wanted me to be able us to be able to grab all of them, and the realistic fan and kind of knew that a lot of these things were not going to come to fruition. A lot of these players that we were being tied to, we just didn't have the money unless we had some big sales going outside, specifically names like Buongiorno or even, you know, Gudmundsson. Although the idea of bringing him in on a loan, yeah, it definitely made sense for us from a financial standpoint and also from a legal standpoint, because, you know, it came out that Inter doesn't know actually what's going to happen with him. So they didn't want to spend the money up front if, you know, which I agree, you know, I wouldn't want to, that's a risky investment.
Yeah.
So to be able to get him and, you know, anybody in, it would have been very difficult.
And also they would have needed Dumfries sale, and he didn't have suitors that
clearly
they were hoping.
You know, there's still center back players that I wish we could have gone after. Another striker would have been nice, just because you don't know what you're going to get with Arnautovic. And although I do like him as a fourth, if you have an opportunity to upgrade, it would have been ideal. But that being said, you know, we look at the guys that did come in. I love, you know, the addition of Zielinski, Taremi as well. I think those are upgrades if you really look at it from a whole squad standpoint, especially being able to maybe even rotate a little bit more and give guys rest. It's going to be the longest season ever for these players, especially given the Club World Cup that's going to be coming to the States. And then you look at, too, you know, bringing in a guy like Josep Martínez, you just got your goalkeeper for the future. That's massive. It may not have been a position of need. You know, we probably could have got away with maybe a year, let's say, you know, of Stankovic banking up. I didn't think investing in Audero for $7 million was going to be a smart move. Hey, you know what? I mean, some people may have said it's a position of need. Some people may not have. But I do think it's a massive upgrade back there. And God forbid, if, you know, Sommer has any injury, I feel safe knowing that Martínez would be able to step right in and be a starting goalkeeper. We saw what he did with Genoa. We know his ability on the ball. We know his ability as a shot stopper. Yes, there may be some things that he needs to work on, but I think we have the right type of coaching that'll be able to help, you know, iron out some of those things that we may feel are shortcomings. So overall, I think this was a good mercato. I'd probably give it like about a 7. You know,
I'll say what one of the listeners at M6Adam_ asked us to rate the mercato.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, well, there you go. A 7 for me. I would have given it a higher one if we did bring in another striker or even a right wing back, you know. We'll see, man. And who knows? Like, the thing with Tejan that, you know, it looks like he's healing faster than people anticipated. So that could technically be a signing, you know, come October, November, which may be like the window that he's back. So
that's how they're going to give it to us.
That's definitely how the management's going to spin it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say a 7 as well, because you added two starting caliber players in Taremi and Zielinski. The hole that's there in the back is only there because of the Tejan injury, and they still may fill it. So I can't really, you know, I can't really say that it's a failure until we see who comes in. And also, I like, the renewals are important. That's part of the mercato. That definitely costs them money. Those are investments for the future. So like that costs money. So yeah, it's going to be a 7 for me, and we'll see how things shake out. There's still some time left here in the window. I did want to ask you about, this is the first summer with Oaktree as our ownership. Their strategy, apparently, we wanted Hermoso, that didn't get the okay. We wanted Ricardo Rodriguez, that didn't get the okay. Not that those are, you know, set the world on fire type players, but they would have filled the hole. That was what apparently Marotta and Auxilio wanted to do, free transfer and whatever. Oaktree said no. I don't think that they were wrong to say no, because you see the situation that we're in now where we have players that we just can't get rid of. And those players might have been in a position. Ricardo Rodriguez, probably his contract would have expired, but Hermoso would have been here for 3 years. And you don't know if that's a movable contract, if you have to be in that situation to move it. Their strategy is that they want low-cost young players. Then it's on your scouting department to find those. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this Oaktree versus management situation where management's trying to fill the hole with quality players, but they're older and unsellable, versus Oaktree, like, just, you know, scout and go find the next guy?
I'm going to be honest. I like it. You know, I think that it's the way to go. I want people that could be here potentially long-term, potentially, you know, more than just a year or two. You know, I feel like you're plugging holes with some of these signings. Now, they're good plugs. You know, I'm not saying that they're scrubs. Zielinski and Taremi are going to be able to be serviceable players for at least another year or two, bare minimum. But to, you know, I didn't think Ricardo Rodriguez was going to be smart business. Hermoso, yeah, maybe it would have been a solid signing. Maybe it would have been able to do something. Who knows, though, if he was, like, you know, would have panned out. I think that's that they're going about it the right way. Some people may see, like, oh, they're looking at us as just a business and just assets, you know, to be able to resell. Well, yeah, don't you want to be able to have assets, though, to be able to resell in case you can't keep certain players, or in case, like,
it was they don't want to keep Inter. Like, they're trying to make it attractive. Like, it's not, yeah. You can hate Oaktree, but, like, you should blame Suning even more. Like, they put Oaktree in this position.
Yeah, and wouldn't you want, you know, someone like, let's say, you know, we sign a young midfielder. I can't even think of one off the top of my head. But let's say we bring in, I don't know, a Frendrup from Genoa, right? And then we have to sacrifice Hakan. You know, at least you have the next piece in there that allows you to continue. Obviously, it may not be at the level of Hakan. I'm not saying Morten Frendrup's going to be that player. But, like, I would much rather sign a player like him than go out and sign, you know, a Sami Khedira type player, you know, to kind of come in just to fill a backup role and kind of bumble around. You know, like, I don't know. I do see that if you can get certain players on a free, that, yes, it helps. But if also you can invest in youth and then be able to build for the future and have... You know, that's why they were okay with the Tesman potential deal. I was okay with that because it made sense in a lot of ways, especially at that price. You know, if you're able to get another defender who's young, let's say, you know, I know, you know, we keep bringing up Dan Ndoye. That's a guy that I would be okay investing in. And I'm sure, you know, Oaktree would be as well. But, would you want a guy like Hermoso? And then let's say we brought him in and he just drops off a cliff, his skill. Yeah. Well, then what a waste of money. What is Marotta doing? You know, like, that's literally what we do.
Or even if he got hurt and then took a while to get back into form, and then, you know, like, he would have suffered an injury. Like, it's just that there's a huge risk. There's a huge risk associated with that. It's interesting. Sure. It's definitely a mercato of opportunities versus holes. They didn't have a ton of holes. The only really big hole it was the Tejan going down. So it's like they're looking for opportunities in order to fill holes. Like, they would have needed to sell, and then you create another hole. It's like, it's not really the mercato that we were expecting to have. We just won the second star. This is a team that they obviously want to keep together. You see it with the renewals. So they just want to modify. They don't want to break it up. We'll talk about the right wing back situation. Someone submitted a question about it, but we'll get to it later. Okay, I want to ask you how this is going to end. So links to players. The ones that get people excited, Goodmanson, Ndoye. The ones that people still need to really wrap their heads around, figure out, a Faye or a Palacios, a young guy. How do you think this mercato is gonna end?
Listen, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think anything's happening.
I don't think a single move is happening personally.
I don't think there's enough time to get those negotiated. Like we drag our feet with things. You know, we don't close a player quickly. I think the last time we did that was with Hakimi, which like it literally like nobody knew about it, and then boom, we signed him.
This you management know? Team leverages time in order yeah. to get deals done. Like they're yeah. looking for to like opportunities where it's close to the window.
It's a little too much of leveraging time. So
yeah.
I don't want it to be you know, something negative or something that, you know, we look back on and as like a huge disappointment. But I don't really see it turning out the way some people want. That doesn't mean that nothing can happen. Of course, anything can happen. But realistically, I don't foresee it falling into place.
Choose one. Goodmanson, Ndoye, or one of the young left backs. Left center backs. For me, it's clear.
I'm going to be honest, and it's only because I could see this happening. I would say Ndoye, and I'll only say Ndoye because I do think we're a lot closer to Giovanni Leone than a lot of people give credit for.
Inside sources?
Potentially.
Jeez, man. This yeah. podcast really taking a turn.
Yeah. I've heard that I'm not going to name it. Just because I don't want to like throw this person under the bus, but we would get Leone this year. He would stay at Sampdoria, but that it could be closer than we think.
It's clearly Ndoye for me. I think you can Lautaro, Thuram, Taremi can eat up the bulk of the minutes. Ndoye is a need because I don't think Darmian, if something happens to Dumfries, Darmian's not a right wing back anymore. He's not. Maybe defensively, but there's two sides to the game and he offers nothing going forward anymore. So that's one reason. Second reason, there's a reason they brought in Tejan. They wanted to switch it up in terms of being able to have someone that can provide pace and beat their man. And trickery, that's Ndoye. That fits the profile. There's a reason that they've been interested in him. He's the move I would make, 110%. I think this mercato is going to end with a young left center back coming in. But Marotta magic. I can't rule out anything crazy happening here. All right, let's get into Genoa Inter a little bit. So the projected lineup is expected to be Sommer, Bissek, Acerbi, Bastoni, Hakan, Barella, Mkhitaryan, Di Marco, Dumfries, Lautaro, Thuram. Is that who you expect to see out there starting 11 on Saturday?
No, I think it's going to be Pavard, and I actually think Acerbi is not going to play. I think it's going to be Pavard, Bissek, Bastoni.
Why do you think Acerbi's not going to play?
I just think he's not fully up to snuff right now.
Really?
That's just a personal opinion. Yeah, maybe a hot take. I'm probably wrong. Let's be honest.
That's a hot take.
I think it's more wishful thinking on my part. Let's go with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently...
And Buchanan's playing over Dumfries. No.
I think the lineup is pretty sharp. That is what it's going to be. If anything, if Bastoni's not ready, it's going to be Carlos Augusto in there at left center back. Mm-hmm. I do think Bissek is going to play right center back. The other thing is
really,
yeah. Okay. The other really balotaggio is up front. So dude, I'm expected to start, and then next to him, Lautaro hasn't played a single minute this preseason.
He doesn't have to, bro.
I agree with you.
What are we worried about? What are we
apparently
talking about?
Apparently in fantastic shape. Apparently in fantastic shape.
He looks fantastic. Look, you see the suit, that the way it fit him when he signed that new contract.
He looks good. He slimmed down.
You see that smile on Agostina's face?
Was that suit from your dad?
Yep. My dad dresses Lautaro.
Nice.
I wish, bro. I would.
Wow.
I would be on the next flight out, and I wouldn't be coming back.
Would it be crazy to say Correa is starting next to Thuram?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 91st episode of Interviews Podcast, and it is now the last one.
Wow.
After that statement. Are you kidding me? It is crazy to even suggest that.
I don't think it's crazy.
I don't think it's crazy. I think it is.
Arnautovic, not fully fit. Lautaro didn't play a single minute of preseason.
Again,
Inzaghi,
not worried.
Is the reason Correa is at Inter. I think there's a love affair.
No. Marcus Thuram is the reason Correa is at Inter, because he had to get hurt right before we were going to sign him.
That's true.
You know what's crazy? If that injury doesn't happen, we have an extra $30 million to spend on something. I rest my case. Your Honor?
I think there's a chance, man. I think you should prepare yourself mentally. I think there is a chance that Correa is going to start.
I am not going to prepare myself mentally. I'm not. I refuse.
Maybe get subbed out and give Lautaro the last 45, but I think there is a chance.
I hope you're wrong. If you're right, just prepare. Listeners, be ready for an epic meltdown by me if Correa is in that match. Starting.
Watch he scores the first goal of this campaign.
You want to make a little bet?
I'll make a bet.
Now, is this contingent on Correa starting? That he scores the first goal?
Of course.
Okay. Then if he doesn't start, the bet's off?
Yeah.
All right, we could do that. We could do something.
A little side action?
A little side action, yeah.
Okay. So this is a tough game to start your season. Genoa is a good team. They were not like a relegation side last year. This was a firmly mid-table side. They've lost some players. Goodmanson is not going to be there. It's going to be...
Rategi's gone. Thank God.
Rategi's gone, which is a big loss for them. It's going to be Messias and Vitinha up front. Frendrup that you mentioned is going to be playing. Johan Vasquez is going to be playing a player that Inter's been linked with.
Watch Messias score two goals, because I'm making fun of him.
He is their main goal threat.
Vitinha is a good finisher.
I've been impressed with him in Genoa's preseason.
Honestly, he's better than people give him credit for.
Yeah.
You know, when he left, I forgot what club he was at now in Portugal, but when he went to Marseille, there was big expectations on him. He didn't live up to those. But he's done... I've liked his movement and his ability to get, you know, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Rategi in that sense, where he can like get lost in space where like people just don't pick him up in the box. His finishing is not nearly as clinical, but I do like what I've seen. I think that's something that he can, you know, improve on. So that would be a threat, I think, potentially.
No, I think, I mean, they definitely, if Goodmanson leaves, they definitely need another striker, but I think Vitinha is
you think they go after Nico Gonzalez?
Genoa goes after Nico Gonzalez?
Just a straight swap. That would be the smart thing to do for both parties, if that's what you're really trying to do, but whatever.
Yeah, but Nico would never...
Nico would never go to Genoa, especially with him, you know, being rumored to go to Juve. He's not going to pick Genoa.
The only person saying no harder to Genoa than Nico is Arnautovic. But I digress.
Anyway.
Can you guess the scoreline of Genoa's first friendly?
Of their first friendly?
Their first friendly this summer.
I'm going to say it was 1-1. I don't know. I didn't even pay attention to them.
They won 17-1 against the...
I guess you should have told me who they played. I was assuming they played someone decent. But
No, they started their campaign with a 17-1 victory. They played Venezia, who they got a 3-1 win over.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they played Venezia in the 17-1 game. No, excuse me?
Val di Fassa, which I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Yes, Val di Fassa. Yeah.
Yep. They beat Mantova. They lost to Brescia 2-0, which is an interesting result. And they also won their Coppa Italia game 1-0 over Reggiana. So they've had a pretty decent preseason. Girardino is a coach that I think is on the ascent. It's
for
at
sure.
the Luigi Ferrari. So that's a tough place to play.
We drew them 1-1 last year. So
we saw it last year. Exactly. I think this is a really tough game. Do you care to give a prediction?
Can we wait till I see the starting lineups?
Okay.
I'll tweet it out. We can both tweet out what we think it is, because it depends on who starts. That's what I would go with.
How about a point? Give me a point prediction. Do you think we get 1, 3, or 0?
It depends on who starts. If certain players start, I give it 3. If it's not who I think, it could be 1.
I'm going to go 3. I'm gonna say 3. I'm knocking on wood here. I'm going to say 3.
The eternal optimist, Alessandro Rafa, is back in the house, baby.
They need to. They can't.
Of course. Yeah, we can't drop points first match.
And it's not even that
Especially with Napoli being, the legit, title contenders, according to a certain someone.
We're going to get into Serie A next. The only reason that I say you can't drop points here is because the Vultures were out for us all last season, and we won by 5 games.
Marotta League, baby.
If we drop points the first game.
If we drop points the first game, that might actually be the easiest way to us to rid Marotta League.
Right, because then you throw off the scent.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Maybe that's Inzaghi's master plan. He's like, boys, we play for the draw.
Oh my God. And you know what I also think part of this, like, Vultures coming out, no one has the balls to say a team other than Inter to win Serie A. They all want a different team to win, but no one has the balls to come out and say it. Nima, is going with Napoli. Is he going with Napoli?
I didn't listen to their whole preview episode. It's like a 2-hour episode. So
actually, I think he said he doesn't put out his thing until the end of
the mercato's done. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Coward. So let's get into Serie A. Feeling good about Genoa Inter, but let's get into Serie A. Let's give our season predictions here. What an interesting summer it's been for Serie A. They haven't figured out their TV rights. In the US, they figured it out like a week and a half ago. Congratulations. Everywhere else, all I see on Twitter is people complaining that they have no way to stream Serie A games in their country, which is fucking terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, it is. It's nuts.
Second part that's super interesting from Serie A's summer is that a lot of teams
have gotten summer.
I didn't realize what you did. The summer is that a lot of teams have strengthened. A lot of teams have gotten better. I don't know how much that gap has closed, but a lot of teams have gotten better. And it should be a more competitive Serie A season. So with that said, let's get into it. Should we start with the winner?
Yeah. Because there's no point in doing the top four if you're going to do the winner. Let's go with the winner, and then we say who the other three teams are going to be.
Okay, Johnny.
You want my top four? You just want me to announce my winner?
I want you to announce your winner.
We're going back to back. I wish I could have played the song by Drake right now. But yeah, we're going back to back, and I'm not just saying that just because I'm an Interista. I think we've stayed the course, and I think we've done enough to strengthen to be able to maintain being the league winners. I feel more confident with the guys on our bench. I do feel like we have quality there that, guys can plug and play. You can rotate Zielinski in, and I feel just as comfortable with him there as I do with Mkhitaryan, which wasn't really comfortable with Mkhitaryan, but I feel more comfortable with Zielinski. I feel better that if, God forbid, there is an injury to one of our forwards or they need rest, that Emmy's there. So I think that, once again, we're going to repeat as champions. What's going to be the really important thing is our defense staying healthy. Those two center backs, I don't really trust them. But again, we do have Bisek there, who I think could be good enough coverage. And yeah, I just don't see really anyone competing with us in the league.
I'm going to echo your sentiment. I'm not going to call them out by name because I am superstitious, but I'm going to echo your sentiment. I think the past two seasons we've seen poor defenses. I think Inzaghi is, when I say defenses, I mean title defenses.
Yeah.
I think Inzaghi is very, very aware of that fact. I think there might be a slight emotional letdown. I don't think we're going to blow out the league like we did last year. but I do think we have enough. I think this team is essentially the team last year plus Taremi and Zielinski, who are quality players. The things that could derail it, I think, are really injury. Like, there is a drop off in a few positions, most notably Hakan Tuaslani. Hakan needs to stay healthy. And then something happens at center back, like you said. Tough. That's tough. So everywhere else you feel pretty good about. Also, Dumfries and Darmian, but everywhere else you feel pretty good about.
And that's so why we needed Morten Hjulmand, but anyway.
Or Tanner Tessman. If we stay healthy, I feel good. I feel good about this team going into this year. All right, round out your top four. Actually, you want me to go?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I'm going Inter. I think the main challengers, Milan. I'm going to go with Milan as the main challenger. I think...
Sorry, I just threw up in my mouth. What'd you say?
They're spending close to $75 million if Fofana comes in. I think the players that they brought in are marginally better than what they had last season, but that's not why I think they're going to make the jump. I think they're going to play much, much better football, and it's going to unlock players like Leao, Pulisic. I just see them being much better, and I don't feel great about Juventus or Napoli, and I'll explain why in a second, but Milan are going to be Inter's biggest.
So Milan second. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's third?
Third is going to be Juventus.
Okay.
Fourth is going to be Atalanta.
Okay. Okay.
I do not have Napoli in my top four.
Me neither.
Oh, interesting. All right, tell me yours.
I'm going to go and shock the world with my second. But I think Atalanta is going to finish second this year. I love the signings that they've made. You know, a lot of people maybe may feel a little underwhelmed by Sulemana in the midfield and, you know, Retegui.
Bresciannini.
But is that done? Like, I knew it was almost done. It's done?
Close to being done. And that's potentially Matt O'Reilly from Celtic, who Inter was linked with.
I was going to bring him up. Yeah, but if Bresciannini gets done and you get Matty O'Reilly, to me, that's a midfield that is, especially if, like, let's say Koopmeiner's gone, but you have Ederson, O'Reilly, Bresciannini, Sulemana. Like, I love that. The defense is, you know, I mean, listen, you're missing Scalvini. That's a big piece. But, you know, Ruggieri is there. You've got some guys who are a little bit older, but I think they have that veteran presence. And Karnasecki, I do think, will make another jump up. You know, I thought he wasn't great last season, a little underwhelming. You know, I think there was a lot of expectations put on him. But I think that this year we'll see some improvement there in terms of shot stopping. And I think his positioning, that was really something I was like annoyed with at times, where I think he just put himself in bad positions. But I just think they have all the pieces in place. You know, if you put, you got Lookman still, and you put, you know, another year with Gasperini, just being able to get the best out of players, and they just know how to scout. Like, if they're signing these players, it's for a reason. You know, yeah. They see something that we don't see as fans. So I trust what they're doing.
They're also in a system that's proven to do well.
Yeah, exactly. So that's who I've got finishing second. Third, I have Juventus. And fourth, if Paulo Dybala stays, I've got Roma sneaking into fourth.
Wow.
But if he
both
leaves,
Milan and Napoli out of your top
if he
four.
Leaves, Milan will be top four. I have zero faith in Paulo Fonseca. Zero faith. I don't care who they spend money on, who they bring in. I just don't think that he's a good enough manager. You know, I think that some of the things that they did at Roma kind of put him in a tough situation, but I also think he had much more talent there than people give them credit for as well. And I think that Roma, I love Mattia Sulle. I think Dovbyk was a big signing. I think that he's going to be a very good striker. I think he will finish probably top, I'll say top five in Capo Cannoniere, depending on certain things and how they play out there. And I feel like I'm forgetting another signing that Roma did. Enzo Lefebvre. My gosh. We could talk about that later, though. I have him in another category to bring him up.
This comes from me rating Fonseca higher than you do. But that's not what we should talk about right now. Juventus. What do you think about them this year?
I think they're going to massively disappoint. And I think that people, specifically Juventini, are going to realize that Allegri wasn't the only problem with that team.
Yep, I agree.
They have a lot of holes in that roster, a lot of trash players who are being heralded as like something they're really not. They weren't really able to get rid of some of the guys that they were hoping to get rid of. And, you know, they missed out on some big-name defenders that they were hoping to get. Calafiori and Todibo specifically, although Todibo I'm not crazy about, but, you know, I mean, I think he still would have been better than Cabal. I mean, we'll see what happens with them. I don't think, from what I've seen, even like the preseason, and look, I don't like to put too much, you know, stock into it, but Vlahovic still looks lazy. Like, even lazier than before. And I don't think that that Mota's going to get what people think he's going to get out of those guys. And, you know, people are like, oh, why doesn't he want to work with Chiesa? Why is he so... Maybe he just doesn't like Chiesa. And he, you know, prefers someone like Orsolini. Not saying that they're trying to get Orsolini back, but I'm just saying, like, Chiesa seems to be a player who's very much about himself and not so much willing to do things for the team. And we've seen that not just with Juve, and people wanted to blame Allegri for that, but even with the national team, where he refused to play out of position with Spalletti. So maybe like Mota just doesn't want to like deal with that nonsense. So
I'm not as high on Juventus this year because I'm not impressed with them defensively. I think people fell in love with Thiago Mota because of the job that he did with Bologna, but the style of football is still fairly pragmatic. There's a lot of buildup. It's not super vertical all the time. I think that midfield of Koop Miners, Thuram, Douglas Luiz can do really well, but I do think it will take them time to gel together. I'm not super high on Douglas Luiz. And
me neither.
Vlahovic has to show that he can be the guy to lead the line, which I do think Koop Miners is going to be helpful for him. But if he comes. But it looks like that's close. I'm not super high on Juve this year. All right. I had Roma and Napoli missing out on my top four.
Fair.
I think Roma made very interesting signings. I don't think it's enough to close the gap with like an Atalanta, a Milan, a Juve, and an Inter. And then as far as Napoli is concerned, my personal opinion, and maybe this will give away one of my other picks, I don't think Antonio Conte is going to last very long. I think that team is not the team that won the Scudetto. It's a completely different style of play that they're asking them to play. I think he's very demanding. I can see him falling out with like Kvara or something, you know, if things don't go right in a game and he criticizes him in the media and Kvara wanted to leave already in the summer. And then next thing you know, you have a big problem on your hand. I don't think Napoli and Conte are a good marriage. And I see it ending poorly. So they're out of top four for me.
Okay. Yeah.
You explained why Milan was out of top four for you. Napoli, why?
Yeah, no, Napoli's out for me too.
Yeah, why?
Same. I mean, a lot of the same things. I don't really have faith in what they've done. They've missed on some players that he's wanted. Bresciannini is, you know, a guy that he wanted. And listen, I love the signing of Alessandro Buongiorno, but I don't think that's enough to fix their deficiencies in defense and in goal.
He's also playing left center back, which I think he's better suited as a center back.
Agreed. So, yeah, we'll see. Listen, we'll see what happens with them. I mean, listen, I could be wrong. You know, Nima thinks because they got one game a week that Conte will get the best out of them, but I don't see everything meshing the way that he would want. And I don't see them really wanting to be played or to put in the effort that Conte expects. I could be wrong. Look, yeah. But I do think that could be the situation.
I agree. Who's getting relegated?
Oh, we're going straight to that. Who did I have getting relegated? Well, it goes based off of, I'm going to say one team because, well, all right, I'll save that team as my last team because of, but I'm going to go with, I'm going to go with Parma, Lecce, and Empoli.
Wow. Yeah.
And I, all right, and we can get to that part after.
I'm going to go Venezia, Empoli, Verona.
See, I liked what Paolo Zanetti did with them, or did with with Empoli last year.
Yeah, I don't like Verona's squad. I just don't like the players.
Fair.
I don't think they're good enough.
They did lose a lot. I guess that's
Parma is definitely on watch for sure as well.
Yeah, I got Parma going down.
Yeah, I think Udinese is going to be much better than people expect, actually. But we can get into that stuff. Okay, you're overachiever. Okay, this is a team that not many people are like your Bologna. Not that you expect them to get into Champions League, but a team to do much better than people are talking about them right now.
Yeah, for me, I think because of his style of coaching and the players at his disposal, I don't think it's like too crazy of an overachievement, but I do think that Fiorentina is going to be better than a lot of people anticipate. The big question mark for me is really David De Gea. A year out of football, is he still a good shot stopper? Is he going to be focused? You know, he does get a little lazy and get beat in some shots that make you really scratch your head. I think it'll really come down to the level of play that he provides.
For me, I think Fiorentina is going to be pretty good this year as well. I think Paladino is a more pragmatic.
I love Paladino. I think he's perfect for them.
I think he's going to be better than Italiano was.
Same.
I have my eye on Lazio. I think they haven't bought a lot, but I think they bought well. I think Marco Baroni is very highly rated amongst coaches. Everyone speaks really highly of him.
Yep. And he's a company man, so they don't have to worry about.
He's a company man. I think Bulay Dia is on his way in. Chautna is in. Isaksen, I expect to take a leap. I just think that it's going to be a different Lazio than we're used to. I think it's going to be less chaotic. I think they're just going to be more solid. And I think they're going to be better. So I would say Lazio is going to, it's, you know, one of those things where you're saying a big club in Italy is going to overachieve, but that's sort of just the state of how things have been recently. First manager sacked.
This goes down to one of the teams that I got being relegated, Empoli. So I'm saying Daversa because it's typical. He is the first manager sacked. And we'll probably have Beppe Aquini coming out of, you know, manager island and coming into coach or something like that. Or who knows, maybe Andrea Zoli comes back once again to Empoli.
To try
to save them. So
I am going to cheat here. It's not necessarily sacked, but I'm going to go with a coach to leave, and I'm going to go with the hot take. Conte is going to be gone by December. Lost Alan Bresciannini. They're selling in Gonge. And I just...
Bro, I'm sorry. I've not paid attention to anything Napoli's doing. They're really selling in Gonge?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Where's he going?
I don't know. All right. Just that he's interested in leaving. So I'm just, I know Nima disagrees, but I just don't see this thing working out. I think Conte is a great manager. For a year or two, but him and De Laurentiis, if things do not go well early on, there's no way he's there by January. There's just no way. So I'll go with Conte. All right, top scorer.
You go first.
Lautaro.
All right, next question. I agree. So, like, okay. no point of...
All right, anyone else do you think can come close to challenging?
Anyone that I think could challenge. So, can we wait till we get to best signing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, now I know who you're going to say. All right, let's go with breakout player. Let's go with breakout player here. I think Lorenzo Luca is going to have a great season at Udinese. I think he's ready to play. I also think, as much as it pains me to say this, Yildiz is going to explode. That's a very, very good player.
I've got one that has no basis. I have there's no reason for me. It's just me being hopeful that this person is a breakout player. And it's Filip Stanković at Venezia.
Okay.
I think that, I mean, listen, I liked what he did at Volendam. I didn't really get to see a lot of him at Sampdoria. But I've heard good things. Like, people were very happy. They wanted him to stay there. So to me, that's a good sign.
Your sources in Sampdoria told you that he's very good.
My very close sources over there. Pierlo himself, my goodness.
Right.
What a tongue twister right there for me. But yeah, like I have high hopes for him, and I will be watching a lot of Venezia games because I do want to see him succeed, and I hope he does. I mean, and another player was a young player that was brought in by Cuomo, Yannick Engelhardt, who is a defensive midfielder. Kind of reminds me of Morten Hjulmand, which is a player I love. I think he's very strong. He can really dictate tempo. He's good in defense and good at tackling. And he has scored some bangers of free kicks, which he did in the Bundesliga. So obviously with my streak of luck, chances are he's going to be a massive, massive bust or get a red card his first match and we'll never hear from him again, like Luis Maximiano. But that's a guy that I'll be watching in those ugly, downgraded Cuomo kits.
I did not know about this kid, but I will keep an eye on him. All right, most disappointing player in Serie A this year.
So for me, it's going to be because I'm not sold on it, and I think that it's going to be a big mistake of a signing. I think that David De Gea is going to be the most disappointing player.
Okay. I'm going to go with Kvara. I think he takes a step back.
Wow. Okay. I like the way you went with that one, but okay. Okay.
I think he takes a step back. Okay. Yeah. I more so think, like, mentally, again, if things are tumultuous at Napoli, that he's going to check out. I think he wants out of Serie A. I think he, you know, wanted to leave this summer. So I don't expect a really awesome campaign from Kvara. I think he's a very good player, but this is just my gut telling me these things. All right, best signing.
You go first.
The best signing in Serie A? Let's go with Taremi. I think he's going to...
such a boring pick. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm
no,
just saying
no,
it's such
I,
a boring...
I understand.
It's
such
a, I think I'm trying to be... Maybe I'm... I don't know.
No,
I'm
understand. Trying not to... I get it. I think he's going to score a lot of goals. And I think he's going to play way more than people are expecting him to play.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think it's a front two of Lauti Thuram.
Do you think he's going to score more than 12 goals in all comps?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think he's going to get 20 goals and assists?
I'm in the 16 to 18 range with him. I just think that it's not a two-headed monster anymore. I think that Inzaghi really likes Taremi. And I think it's going to be those three players are going to be...
For sure. Yeah.
Round and round.
Okay.
All right. Who's yours?
I got two. I couldn't decide between these guys. Enzo Lefebvre, I think that he is such a stud player. And I don't think even Roma fans understand how good this player could be. And especially his dribbling in tight spaces, his ability to pass... Scoring, I think that's a great signing. I hope he pans out. I really do.
Me too.
And Retegi, I think that was such a good piece of business. especially with Scamacca going down.
Did the price tag surprise you? 28? All in, 28?
I mean, to me, it's a little higher than I would have wanted personally. But like we talked about it, I think even last year that we thought like 25, 30 million would be what it would cost to get him if he had a good campaign with Genoa. He had an okay campaign. I wouldn't say a good one. He was injured. I think that if he would have been healthy, he would have, you know, been able to help out a little bit more for them. So 28, I don't think it's the worst deal, but yeah, I would have tried to obviously get it lower. But I actually think that I won't say he will give Lautaro a challenge for Capo Cannoniere, but I do think that he'll get 15 or more league goals.
Okay. Worst signing.
This was tough. And I'm only going to go with this person because I don't see him panning out there at all. But I'm going to go with Andrea Belotti at Como. I think that's like just a terrible signing.
That's fair. I'm going to go with Douglas Luiz. And when I say worst signing, I'm not saying living up to the price tag. That's a lot of money for...
I mean, yeah, for that, yes. If we're going to go, I would say that. I'm just saying, like, I don't think Belotti's even going to get 3 goals for Como, to be honest.
I just don't think he's as dynamic as people made him out to be.
I would agree. Yeah, people are talking about him. Like, they just signed, like, Ederson, part two.
But they didn't.
I don't think he even sniffs, like...
I think it's a lot more of a basic game than people are expecting.
Basic game, and I think it's because his girlfriend got signed that they brought him over too, so they could stay together. I'm not even kidding.
No, come on.
I'm not even kidding. I think that's the only reason they signed him. It's like, she's like, well, what about my boyfriend? I can't leave him in West Ham. You know, like
this is the InfoWars of Serie A podcast here, the conspiracy theories.
not on merit because your girlfriend is here.
All right. Let's wrap up this Serie A deep dive here. Hot take. Give me one hot take for the season.
Hot take. Mm-mm. Hot take is...
I can go first if you want me to.
Go first because I'm trying to think of how I want to word this.
Yeah.
Go.
The Napoli implosion is certainly a hot take, but for switching it up a little bit, the Champions League places, those 5 spots, they're not solidified for next year, right? That coefficient, that ranking, it happens every year. I think Italy's going to get it again. That's my hot take.
I don't think that's that hot of a take, though.
I don't think so?
I feel confident that'll happen again.
I don't think anyone... You feel confident it's going to happen again? I don't think anyone's expecting Italy to have another 5 places in the Champions League.
I think so. Maybe that's wishful thinking.
Maybe that's us. We just know the league. Yeah. I think that's going to happen.
But, all right, hot take. I think... Alberto Gilardino is going to have Genoa fighting for a European spot. Even with the losses, I think that he's going to be able to keep them competitive. I'm not saying they're going to get it, but I think they're going to be battling, like fighting for Conference League.
Okay. I think that's good. I think it's a good hot take.
I had a hot take, but our good friends over at the Calcio guys...
They hit it first.
Johnny got it first, and I saw it, and I'm glad I did see it because I didn't even get to listen to the episode yet. And I was like, I literally commented, I was like, well, I got to change mine. So he said that Como would finish top 10. I was going to say that too, but I decided to change gears.
That's a good one. It's a good one. He's got the profile of the up and coming coach. All right, you guys sent in your questions. Let's dive into the mailbag rapid fire here. @John_FC66. Maybe just some quick thoughts on the kits for the upcoming season. Struggling to like the home kit, but maybe it will grow on me. Love the pod and can't wait to see what the future holds now that you guys are affiliated with Sempre Inter. Thank you, John. For me, I honestly don't really get up in arms over the kits like some people do.
I don't get... I, I, I did see the leaked third kit, and I hate it.
You saw the leaked third kit?
Yeah, I hate it.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
They're not Romas, though.
No, thank God they're not Romas. I love the home kit. I don't get the hate on the home kit. I get wanting traditional stripes. I understand that. But I do think, one, these jerseys are planned out a couple years in advance. Two, paying homage to the columns or the pillars, whatever you want to call them, outside the San Siro, and doing it that way, that like spiral design.
I think that's really cool.
I think that's really cool. It's not the whole kit. It's like a little, it's obviously it's a part of it. I'm a fan of it. And I think the away kits are perfect. I really do. I think those are just
super clean. Very clean.
So clean.
The third kit sucks, by the way. I just saw it.
Yeah, the third kit's the ugliest kit. Like, whoever designed that should be arrested. And if Anima, if it's your friend, I'm sorry, but that is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I don't think I've seen it. I was not a fan of the sprite kits. I didn't hate them. I didn't love them, but that makes the sprite kit like I would bring that back tomorrow if they gave us the opportunity.
Not great at all.
No,
not great. Okay. At Griffo Gaming, I'd like to hear more about the youth team, just like a 5 or 10 minute segment, if possible. It's difficult to get the relevant info. I am lazy too. Okay.
I appreciate the honesty on that. I really do. I think a lot of Interisti need to, like, I've been guilty of it too, but some of us like to pretend like we know about things that we don't know about, and we talk about players.
That feels like a prerequisite for being a football fan.
Basically, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that for sure. Where do you want to start? I wanted to start with something I'm upset about with the youth team.
Okay. I'll give one name.
It's probably the name I'm upset about, but go ahead.
Topalovic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's not the name I'm upset about.
That's who I'm watching this season. That's who I'm like, I feel about this player like I have never felt about a youth player. And that's a crazy thing to say, and it's not even because like, oh, the highlights are great or with the hype or whatever it is. The hype is there, but there's pictures of him, like the Inter official account, posting that picture of him coming on for Barella, and you can almost see like the passing of the torch. And I want.
But did you also see the way like Inzaghi is talking about him and being around him?
I want him to work out like you would not believe.
I honestly think Topalovic, and I'm gonna say it, and I know other people have said it too, but I'm gonna say it just so you could hear it, Griffo. This kid is another SMS. I think we literally have just signed.
You just put the
pressure on him? Absolutely.
The jinx, dude.
I am. I'm not enough with the jinxes, bro. There's no such thing.
Sorry, bro.
Jinx.
I can't.
You're acting like a real.
It.
You're acting like a real Tavali right now.
I can't help it.
I am so pumped for this kid. The potential is there. The dribbling. He is able to get out of tight spaces. He's strong on the ball. He's a good vision on the pitch. This is one where I'm like, bro, how did we hit this? Like, how did we get this locked up the way we did? So many teams were in on him too. So I'm pretty psyched that we were able to get this done. And we'll see, man. He's definitely a name I'll be paying attention to for sure. One thing that I was gonna say that I am, and this is like moving on from Topalovic, but I'm a little upset about is Luca Di Maggio.
Yeah,
this is a kid that was just captain of the U19s. He was fantastic. He scored some gorgeous goals, had some big assists, and we're loaning him to a Serie A side. What is that going to do for his growth?
What happened as far as the Serie B sides, though, that like there wasn't a compelling
nobody wanted him in Serie B. He's 19 years old.
It's really weird.
Nobody thought like, hey, this is a guy that we should be all over. Not even aside from like the Dutch league, because they normally like to buy or like loan out our young guys. I don't get it. I don't know why he's even going to like. I don't like it. I think that this is going to be really bad for his future. And I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pissed about that, but we brought in 3 exciting players, Thiago Romano, Luka Topalovic, and Alex Perez, Dabalovic is highest on my list, but those are the three players that I have my eye on. They're all going to be with the Primavera. So they've obviously invested in the team. So it'll be fun to watch them this year. All right. Uncle Sharma, some predictions to revisit at the end of the season. Will Correa be sold or rescinded or stay? I'm saying that he's going to stay. He's going to be here till at least January.
I'm going to agree with you there. Yeah.
Who will get more minutes in all competitions, Fratesi or Zielinski?
This was a question that I love that he asked, and I'm going to go with Zielinski.
Me too. First option off the bench until Mickey gets supplanted, but I don't know that Mickey's going to get supplanted. Thuram to score more goals than last season.
In all comps, or are we just saying in the league?
He didn't specify, so let's go in the league.
I'm gonna say yes in the league.
Me too. Yeah, easy yes for me. I think he's I think we're in for a breakout with him. Let's see. Okay, at R Twined, can Acerbi Devrai really hold up for 60 games or so? And is the prime backup Bastoni or Bisek? If not, the answer is no. They can't hold up for 60 games. The prime backup is going to be Bisek, because I think Bastoni is too critical to the way that Inzaghi wants to play at that left center back position.
Yeah. I'm just going to echo the same thing.
Okay. If we don't make a move before the window closes, do you see January signings coming like last season?
I think it really depends on, let's say we don't do anything the rest, right? Correa's there. If we're able to offload Correa, I could see them trying to get something. Not sure what it would be, but I could see them going after something.
Correa Mbappe swap deal? What do you think about that?
You know, I mean, that sounds like the type of player that really fits, the Galacticos model. So I could see that happening.
I think they'll make a signing in the window strictly because at some point someone is going to go down and they're going to need a replacement. All right. At Yazid Neo, this was an interesting question. Inter was ranked 18th in outside the box shots and the year before ranked 20th in dribbles won. Glaring weaknesses that are not being addressed. Do you see us improving on this? Such an interesting question. They tried to improve on this.
18th on shots outside the box?
Yeah. Again, I haven't verified. This is just what we're being tweeted. But
wow. Outside the box shots. That's a lot lower than I thought we would.
Me too.
Okay.
Me too. Outside the box shots and dribbling, Zielinski.
Zielinski answers that, yeah.
Right? I do still think it's a glaring weakness. They brought in Tejan for a reason. That's why I wanted Doi.
I definitely think the dribbling aspect is a weakness. Shots outside the box is kind of surprising. Maybe I haven't paid. Like, I guess. Wow, really? Because in my head, I'm like seeing DeMarco rip shots, Pavard rip shot, but maybe because like Pavard's were sometimes blocked before they got on goal.
He also had a lot that were in the box, like on set pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are things that I do wish, especially the dribbling part. Maybe not so much the shots outside, but I do, like you said, I think Zielinski answers that. Taremi is taking shots outside the box as well, and he's been able to score. So who knows? Maybe both those guys will be able to help with that.
All right. At Dan_Mancuso, Bisek at right wing back. No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
No.
Like something catastrophic would have to happen for that.
I get the question because he is really good.
He's great forward. And he's great at going forward, and he's strong on the ball. So yeah, I'm not saying I don't see it, but I'm not saying I can't see it. I don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening either. I don't think Inzaghi likes to pull people out of position like that. A major change. Okay. Although I guess Hakan Regista wasn't expected, but anyway. Why is Zielinski not... Oh, shit. Sorry. At Ronald PS 1993, Ronald Pena, why is Zielinski not the projected starter next to Hakan and Barella?
That's because we have Henrik Mkhitaryan, and Inzaghi loves him more than anything.
That's the answer, is Inzaghi's love for Mkhitaryan. It's very, yeah. And also Zielinski doesn't track back as well as Mickey, according to heat maps. At least he didn't have to do it for Napoli, so that's why. If nothing else happens in the Mercato, how will Inzaghi play all five of these forwards?
I think he's only going to worry about four of them.
Yeah.
I don't think he's... I think the fifth one is going to be just because of injury cover. That's literally it.
I have this funny feeling Correa is going to rise up the depth chart above Arnautovic.
I really hope you're wrong. I really hope you're wrong.
I want to be wrong too, dude. It's you know, just sort of how these things play out. You have love for a player and it doesn't go away. All right. Not my love. Inzaghi's love. Now that the second star is secured, you guys finally all in for the CL, actually prioritizing it. I thought this was a super interesting question. I really want to do well in Europe. I don't know that Inzaghi is staying past these next couple of years. We extended the contracts that we extended for a reason. Like this team is obviously very good. Like I don't know how long it's going to be until we get European, you know, glory. I want it. And also I got teased the Champions League appearance not that long ago.
I this new format though is really going to be interesting to see how.
I'm very interested in it.
It's gonna be interesting to see how we play this out. You know, like I don't know.
It's gonna affect us in the league for sure because it's 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's more than they were playing, and you don't know who you're exactly playing against for. You know, it's gonna be interesting. I'm excited for it, but I would prioritize CL at this point.
Over another Scudetto.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's not that I don't want it.
It feel like the Inzaghi window with these players, Bastoni, Barella, Lauta? Like, doesn't it feel like
gotta take advantage? We got Topalovic there, you know? So, like, the window's not that.
That extends the window 5 to 8 years.
That extends it. We're fine. Yeah. Right. No, it's... I don't know. It's going to be tough for sure.
Would you prioritize it though?
I don't know how. It depends on how he plans on rotating the squad. If he's actually going to keep people fresh to be able to focus, maybe on both. You know, like maybe like game one, Lautaro Thuram. Game two, Lautaro Taremi. Game three, Taremi Thuram. You know, like rotating, like, and I mean like by like. Or maybe it's like league UCL, like rotating that way, you know.
Yeah,
it's gonna be tough. I know it's not gonna be the case, but I feel like you have to keep them fresh to be able to be competitive. To me, you punt the Coppa Italia. That like
I 100% agree.
Like, literally, 100%. Like you play Primavera kids only.
Yeah,
only. I know that might seem disrespectful. Like I wouldn't mind the Supercoppa. That's a free $8 million. Like yeah, take that seriously. But punt the Coppa Italia, let Josep Martinez play with whatever kids you got. Yep. You know, I mean, you know, we were talking about the Primavera. We got that kid that I like in the midfield, Thomas
Barenbrook.
Barenbrook, yeah. Like, I think that he might be worth like throwing out there. Maybe bring up Topalovic for a game, and just let the guys play that one, because
I agree.
I don't think we should focus on those three things. I actually think the most important things.
Rank them.
I'm probably going to get hate for this, and I apologize, but hear me out. I'm thinking about this from a financial standpoint. Scudetto is number one. Number two is the Club World Cup. There's actually more money potentially to win there. And if you win that, it's the first one. How sick would it be to say, here we are, Inter, first winners?
Yeah.
And me, I think because it's going to be in the United States, and this could be biased because I want to be able to see them and see them be successful. Yeah. I want them to win that, especially since they could potentially win more money than they would in a deep Champions League run, unless they win the whole thing in the Champions League. But I guess I don't really foresee them winning the whole thing. Then the Champions League, then Supercoppa, and then Coppa Italia is over to the side. Like
I would have the same ranking, except at this point in the Inter Inzaghi Beppe project.
You think
UCL
is more important?
I would take the UCL. It's the one that we don't have.
Listen, I'm not going to say you're
UCL,
wrong.
UCL, Scudetto, Club World Cup, Supercoppa, Coppa Italia. That's what
I'm just looking at it from a financial standpoint.
I think that's fair.
Selfish one because I'm gonna be going. So
yeah,
It's not because I don't think the UCL is important, and I'm sure you know Nazario and the guys in London are gonna you know maybe laugh at this, but I want to see them be successful here. And
yeah.
I plan on going, you know, to as many of the Inter games as I possibly can.
I do as well. And something that this conversation just jogged in my memory, someone tweeted or quote tweeted the Bastoni quotes when he came out and said, like, I'm happy here. When you find a family and you find, like, you know, love like here, you don't have any reason to be leaving. Someone quote tweeted it, said, like, big man, when Real Madrid comes calling, like, do the right thing for your career. And in this discussion about the Champions League and Scudetto, what to prioritize, this crop of players, Barella, Bastoni, Lautaro, they deserve the big one. Like, you know how Zanetti, you know, turned sure. down Real Madrid at some point during the thing, and I'm sure people had the same sentiment of, like, do it for your career. He stayed at Inter. He got what he deserved with that Champions League title.
Now, I'm not trying to compare these players or the clubs, but like Francesco Totti stayed at Roma. He had opportunities to leave. He didn't win the big one. You know, he only won a Scudetto and a couple Coppa Italias.
But he is Roma.
Do people look at him differently because he only won that? Do they look at him as a lesser player because he doesn't have the Champions League?
I don't.
So like, I don't think, me personally, I wouldn't see Barella, Lautaro, and Bastoni as any less if they don't get the UCL.
But you want them to have that.
Of course I want them. I mean, listen, I want them to have every trophy under the sun.
Yeah.
You know, like I would love for Barella to get a World Cup, you know, and Bastoni too, because the, you know, Lautaro has one. You know, I would like love them to get that.
Yeah.
But am I gonna look at them differently if they don't get one? No. I mean, they already got a Euros, so I'm happy with that, I guess. But
yeah.
I mean,
it's interesting. It's hard.
I get what you're saying. I don't disagree. I just, to me, it's,
it doesn't take it away for you, and it wouldn't take it away from me. But it is something.
Yeah, I know.
That, like,
I know you're not saying that. Like
we've been saying, like, people, when people talk about Gvardiol, we've been saying Bastoni. When people talk about, you know, Declan Rice, we've been saying Barella because we know they're better. Like, it's kind of like on the European stage. Like, I want that little extra to be able to say, we fucking told you for years that these guys were, and the same thing with Lautaro and the Ballon d'Or, that we've been saying for years, these are top players.
Fair.
It's interesting. Inzaghi himself in the, you know, conferences and preseason is talking a lot more about Scudetto than he is about Europe. So, I don't know. Let's see how that shakes out. All right, one more question and then we'll get out of here. At Saul Goodman 69. This is my first time reading his handle, my bad. And it's Saul, like, not S-A-U-L, like S-A-L-L, like Saul Goodman. Yeah.
Like, all right. Saul Goodman.
And his thing is very pissed off Inter fan. So
That's because hockey season isn't happening right now.
Right.
So he can't be, you know, very pissed off Leafs fan. But he should be because they just named
him. Oh, is that who it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. He says, are you guys worried about Oaktree interfering in Marotta's transfer strategy? Many times they've identified specific targets that we could have acquired for free / very cheap, and Oaktree decided to go another avenue. So we talked about this. And I think we're both in agreement that, like, it's not an issue for us. It would be an issue for us if it was like there was a massive hole in the team that we couldn't fill. But this is, we're talking about the backup to Bastoni at this point. And I think we prefer a younger player anyway.
Yeah. And I think Marotta knew what he was getting into when he was taking over the presidency. And I think he knew what the expectations were. And I think he, listen, I'm sure he's going to present opportunities for certain players and to try to bring in. But I think he also knows that, hey, it'll probably be met this way or with a little bit of hesitation or whatever it may be, you know? So I'm not too concerned with it. I think what we need to be hoping for is that we make this club appealing enough to eventually be sold to someone who really wants to take it to the next
and then
level.
Will invest, like is willing to drop.
Like
the
I think that's what we really want and should be hoping for. So, and I think that that's really what Oak Tree is trying to do is get that to that point where they can make the most money they can possibly make, but then also have someone come in who, you know, will really be able to allow our management team to work its magic. Because I mean, look what Marotta and Auxilio were able to do with no budget. Just imagine if they had even 75 million to play around with every summer, you know. I'm not expecting, you know,
which is what Milan is spending this summer.
Yeah, that's it. Like, and I'd be happy with that. I really would. Like, I don't need $100-200 million signings. You know, I need a couple.
I don't want that anyway.
No, like, if you give me, you know, 230s and a 15, you know, or something, like, I'm thrilled.
So I want to be able to buy Dan and Doi for 20 fucking million euros. That's the kind of spending power that I want. Okay.
All right.
We've been going here for about an hour and a half. We haven't spoken with you guys in a long time.
This might be our longest episode ever.
Yeah, but it was good. I mean, it's good to be back here. Like, it's good to get a little work in before the
I feel energized, and it might be because, you know, we got Sempre Inter behind us now and awesome kits that we're both wearing. We also did not talk about this ahead of time. This was not planned. We just both came on with this on.
Yeah, that is true. For the people that are going to see the clips of this, that is true. All right. So before we head out of here, do you have anything you want to say to anyone, to everyone? Any updates, anything you're sending
just
out?
Be on the lookout for the shirts because they're going to be so sick. If you weren't able to get a jersey, you're going to want this. I'm going to get one. I'm sure Alessandro's going to get one. Yeah, everyone should get one.
Yeah. Okay. This is going to sound so stupid because I wrote an outro for the show now that we're in the next chapter of it.
I think if you didn't say it, you might have been able to get away with it.
I'm going to try to read it, but like read it real just so I can get my head around it. All right.
Okay.
Ready for this? All right, everyone.
He couldn't even get past that.
All right. Everyone. Make sure to follow Interviews Pod on all podcast platforms, as well as our YouTube channel and Twitter at InterviewsP0D. Come talk to us on Twitter at Alex Raffa and at SauceGMP. And of course, for the most comprehensive Inter coverage in English, be sure to head over to SempreInter.com for the latest news of the Nerazzurri. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi, Forza ragazzi.